how he was talking to the people and ministering to them and advising them and warning them to come out and stop acting like those around them. Because we forget sometimes that we are supposed to have the character of God. We are supposed to act like God. We're supposed to look like God. People are supposed to know that we belong to God. So it's not enough just to, you know, wear, for the women to wear the long skirts and the hairs and the bun and, you know, the short sleeves all the way down to their wrists, and the men, you know, the same thing with their short sleeves all the way down to their wrists, and, you know, shoes, your toes are covered and everything and all of that. It's not enough just to do that. It's not enough just to carry the Bible around. It's not enough just to have on some type of insignia that would suggest that you are a Christian or a believer or a follower of Jesus Christ. We must live this thing. We must be so different that the world will know, you know, that that person is different. That person belongs to God. But what we have found out is that many people are conforming to the world. We're doing the exact opposite. We're not supposed to conform to the world. We're supposed to come out from among the world and be separate from the world. There should be something different about us as followers of Christ, as disciples of Christ. There should be something different about us that the world will know that we are born again, and something in us that they would desire to be like who we're emulating, who is Christ Jesus. But oftentimes we're finding out that the church world is trying to be like the world. The church world is trying to act like the world, talk like the world, have swagger. I mean, you got swag in the church. I mean, all of this stuff that's going on, and we really need to reconsider, and we need to pray, and we need to ask God to cleanse our hearts, and we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to do this thing that Paul told us to do in Romans chapter 12. Okay? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But see, we need to have a desire within us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need to have a desire to not be conformed to this world. And being conformed to this world, we're going to read the scriptures on tonight in the book of Corinthians, in the book of 1 Corinthians. So if you have your Bibles, please, please get your Bibles and please turn to 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to go ahead and study on that for tonight. Glory to God. And I think I heard my husband pick up the phone. If you did, would you please lead us in prayer?
Let us bow in prayer. Oh, gracious Father and God, we come before you, before your divine majesty, before your power, before your omnipotence. Lord, we ask that you will just come into our hearts and into our minds, that you will be with our evangelist and my wife, Teresa Scott, Lord, as she leads us into this particular broadcast, into this particular service that you called her to this night. Oh, Lord, we ask that you will be with Pastor Felicia, her co-host, and all of those that will be listening live, those that will be in the chat room, and those that will be hearing this in the archives. Oh, Lord, allow your spirit to lead us and guide us to your truth and not to our own understanding. Oh, Lord, we know that the church has too often conformed to the world, that we've compromised, that we've looked the other way oftentimes, that we've allowed things in the world to become part of the church. Lord, forgive us for that. Forgive us for our trespasses. Forgive us for our lack. Forgive us for our being politically correct in every instance so that people will be pleased with us, more concerned with swelling the crowd than expounding the good news of Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord, may we be worthy servants of yours, Father. May we be worthy preachers and teachers. May we be worthy evangelists and ministers and even laity, Lord, that each of us may stand before you boldly, not shrinking at your presence, but boldly standing, knowing that we've done all that we can do and we strive to be all that we can be, living the life, not just talking the life. And now, Lord, we ask that you will just bless us this night, that you'll guide us, that you'll direct us, that you'll lead us to your perfect truth, and that the rest will all come in order when you come. And now, Lord, we commit ourselves, we rededicate ourselves, we look to you, from whence cometh our help. for our help cometh from thee. In the name of Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for that prayer. And we want to turn to 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, I said 1 Corinthians, but please turn to 2 Corinthians in your Bibles. And we are going to read that one tonight. Now, let me tell you, we want to begin reading 2 Corinthians because a lot of people quote 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And we don't all the time read, you know, the whole context of that scripture, and we're very known for doing that. We'll take one scripture and just expound on that one scripture, but I want to tonight just read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If we had time, I would start really at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If we had time, I would start at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and just go into, you know, that whole thing. And I think we should start doing that, just reading the scriptures and seeing what the Lord says in his word and, you know, just not taking one thing and just running with it. Let's just read what the word of God says. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 1, it says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumult, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as known and yet well known, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I like the end of that statement. It says, saith the Lord Almighty. Saith the Lord Almighty. In verse 17, he says, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This is a word from the Lord spoken by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth, but this word is speaking to us today in 2012. This word is speaking to us right now in 2012. He was talking to the church when he was speaking. He was talking to those that had given their lives to Christ when he was speaking, and the word is speaking to the body of Christ today, but many will not have ears to hear, and many will not listen. Many will hear the word of God, but turn away from the word of God in disobedience, in rebellion, and take the word of God, and it will be of none effect. But what we have to do is take the word of God and examine ourselves. The word of God was very clear. It says in verse 16, let's start at verse 14, and I know my sister, God bless you for joining us tonight. I know there's some people that I have spoken to, and they very strictly, you know, talk about verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But a lot of times people take that verse and say, be not unequally yoked, and they tie that in with marriage. You know, if your husband is not a believer, be not unequally yoked with them. If your wife is not a believer, be not unequally yoked. Before you get married, make sure that you two believe the same thing. But what we have to understand is that it's not only applying to marriage relationships, it's talking about relationships in general. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's very clear. That leaves no room for error. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And if you go back and do a study of what it meant to be unequally yoked in the Old Testament, you would see that there was God did not want the oxen to be unequal. Like if it was a yoke of oxen, they had to be the same animal. It wasn't supposed to be a ox and a jackass or an ox and something else. They had to be the same animal that was doing the plowing. But it didn't want it to be unequally yoked. And the same thing with us. We're supposed to take the yoke of the Lord upon us and learn of him. But how can you take the yoke of the Lord upon you when you have the yoke of the world on you as well? We have to make up our minds whether we want to serve God, and do we really want to serve God for real, or do we want to just pretend like we're serving God and still live like the world and act like the world? But the bottom line is this. When Jesus comes back for his church, when he comes back for this church without a spot or a wrinkle, when he comes back for this church who he wants to be blameless, when he comes back for this church, it's going to be too late if we haven't made up our minds already to serve the true and living God. It's going to be too late. There's not going to be time when Jesus comes, because the Bible says he's coming quickly. He's coming in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And you know how fast your eye blinks? Your eye blinks so fast most of the time you don't even notice that your eye is blinking. And this is how quick he's going to come back. So there's not going to be any time for repentance then. There's not going to be any time to say, God, okay, I'm going to cut this person loose and cut that person loose. I'm going to stop visiting this place and stop looking at that. There's not going to be any time for that, because when Jesus comes, he's coming in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. And he's coming back in a moment when we think not that he's coming. Okay? And this scripture, if you just go down and read to the end of it, it says, saith the Lord. This is not something Paul made up. None of the word is something that these men of God made up. This is something that the Holy Ghost inspired them to write. And when they says, saith the Lord, you better listen to this thing, saith the Lord. Okay, go down in verse 17. It says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. See, we're not dealing with animals and, you know, defiled animals and all that stuff right now, but we're dealing with defilement in the spirit. We're dealing with defilement in the natural. We're dealing with defilement within the body, and we got to get the body clean again. We got to get the body back in right relationship with God. And you will say, well, my relationship is right with God, but guess what? If a part of the body is sick, the whole body is sick. And we need to come together as a unit like they did in the book of Acts. They came together on one accord. There was no division among them. They came together with one mind on one accord. And when they came together with one mind, one accord, then the power of the Holy Ghost was able to come in. And they all got filled with the Holy Ghost because they were agreement with one mind and one accord. You can go to one body of believers over here and they'll believe this. You can go to one body of believers over here and they'll believe that. You'll have one body of believers that'll say it's okay to drink and it's okay to curse as long as you don't do it in excess. Then you have one body of believers that say that you can't do this and you can't do that. You have another body of believers that say, well, you know, I guess it's okay with God, but if it feels right to you, you can do it. But if it don't feel right, then you shouldn't do it. No, we all should be speaking the same thing. We all should be speaking the same thing, that God hates sin and he wants us to live holy and righteously before him. We should all be speaking the same thing, not a little bit of sin. God going to look, he'll look the other way at a little bit of sin. That's a lie. That's the spirit of error that is going out in the world to tell people that it's okay to keep living the way you want to live and God's just going to accept it anyway. There is a spirit of truth and there is a spirit of error, and the spirit of error will tell you that it's okay to do that which God said not to do. He's calling us to come out from among the world and be separate. He's calling us to come out and be holy. He's calling us to come out and live righteously before him. Glory to God. He's calling us to come out. Stop falling back. Stop going back into the ways of the world. Stop listening to the devil. Stop fellowshipping with those you know that are living unrighteously, because the more you fellowship with that, the more you're going to start acting unrighteously. He's calling us to come out from among them. He's calling us to live right before him. He's calling us. I tell you what, verse 14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Take a moment to think about that. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? How can light fellowship with darkness? How can righteousness fellowship with unrighteousness? How can this be? God doesn't want us to be tainted with unrighteousness. He doesn't want us hanging around with darkness, and we're supposed to be light. And verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What part do you have with an infidel? Who are we? Who are we? Do you even know who you are? Have you looked lately and just looked at yourself and say, who am I? Sometimes we just have to go back and remind ourselves that we are the children of God. We have to look at ourselves and tell ourselves that we belong to the holy God, that we have cut our ties with Satan, that we are no longer yoked to Satan, but we are now yoked to God. We are tied to God. Wherever he steers us, that's where we should be going. I'm talking about the true and living God. I'm talking about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Wherever he steers us, that's where we're supposed to be going. Wherever his Holy Spirit leads us, that's where we're supposed to be going. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. That's how we know we are the sons of God, when we are led by the Spirit of God. But we're yoked up, as some of us act like we're still yoked up to Satan, because whatever he tells us to do, whatever his demons tell us to do, wherever they lead us to go, that's what we find ourselves doing, like we're still yoked up to Satan, like we're still bound to Satan, like he's still our father, like he's still our leader, like he's still our master. And we need to begin as the body of Christ to get down on our knees, and we need to begin to repent. We need to begin to cry out to the true and living God and ask God to forgive us for allowing ourselves to be yoked back up with the devil. Oh, yes, this is a harsh word, and you might say, I'm not yoked with the devil. But if you living like the devil, if you acting like the devil, if you talking like the devil, you might want to check who you yoked with. You might want to check that thing out. Well, I go to church every Sunday, and I go to Bible study every Wednesday, and I go to prayer on Friday, and I go to every conference that comes to town, and I go to every revival when they come. And every time the preacher calls the altar call, I'm up at the altar. All right, all right, all right. But if you still go back home and living like the devil, if you still on your job living and acting and talking like the devil, if you still out there doing things you know you have no business doing because you know the word of God and you have the Holy Spirit residing in you, but you still living like the devil, and every time the Holy Ghost tells you something, you say, shut up, Holy Ghost, I don't want to hear you. I want to do what I want to do. You might want to check who you really yoked to. Glory to God. And the scripture just got finished saying about the infidel. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness, and what concord have Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Infidel literally means one without faith. One who has no religious beliefs or who doubts or rejects the central tenets of the particular religion. That's what an infidel means. When you say, well, my friends have religious beliefs. Okay, well, it says, or one, for one who has no religious beliefs or who doubts or rejects the central tenets of the particular religion, who doubts or rejects the word of God, who doubts or rejects whatever God's word says to them. Be not unequally yoked, but you still unequally yoked. Your friends go to the clubs on Friday night, and you know you should be in church, but you at the club with your friends, rejecting the word of God. God says love your enemy, but you hate your enemy and you're trying to get revenge, rejecting the word of God. God says, feed the hungry, house the homeless, give clothing to the naked, visit those that are in prison, visit those that are in sick, that are in hospital. And you say, I don't need to be doing all that. Nobody visit me when I was in the hospital. Nobody do nothing for me, so why I need to do something for anybody else? Rejecting the central tenet of the word of God. God says, study. Study my word. Meditate on my word day and night. I don't want to do that. I don't need to do that. That takes too much. God says, pray. The word of God says, pray without ceasing. Why I got to pray like that? Why I take so much to pray? Why I got to pray all the time? I can say, now lay me down to sleep. And I say, good morning, God, and keep it moving. Rejecting the central tenets of the word of God. And Jesus is calling us out today. Come out from among them. Whatever your them is that is not of God, come out from that thing. Come out from that thing so that God can receive you unto himself. Come out from among us so that God can receive you unto himself. I didn't write it. I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to me. I'm first partaker of anything that comes out of my mouth. God says, have faith in him. Have faith in him. Well, God, if I let them go, then I'm not going to have any friends. Well, God, if I leave that church because they're not doing what they're supposed to do, then they're going to think this way about me. Well, God, if this, or God, if that. There's no if. The word of God says do it, then just do it. If the word of God says don't do it, then don't do it. It's better. My friend said when I was in a women's fellowship a couple of weeks ago, she stood up and she said, it's better to go into heaven maimed than to go into hell whole. It's better to go into heaven with one eye than to go into hell with both eyes. It's better to go into hell with one arm than to go in there with both arms. If your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. If your right arm offend thee, cut it off. If you got a problem with stealing, that's what it was saying, cut your arm off. If you got a problem with lust, you pluck your eye out. Because it's better to enter heaven maimed than go to hell with all your faculties, to go with every one of your limbs. It's better to go to heaven with part of your limbs than going to hell with everything attached. If something that's in your life that's causing you to sin, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Whatever it is. Glory to God. Whatever it is. Come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will receive you. I will receive you. Come out from among them, and I will receive you. Jesus is Lord. Husband, are you on the line?
Amen.
Do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I like that unevenly yoked, because in the early church, what was meant really by that was, just like you said, was multifaceted. It wasn't always about husband and wife, but it was about any relationship that you have. In the early church, they would even leave their jobs if it meant that they had to compromise their faith. They had to leave people that were precious to them, precious friends, old-time friends that grew up with them, even friends maybe that were even more friendly and more committed to them than people in the church. But they had to leave them. They were compelled to leave them, just like you said before, because they understood what Christ himself said in the Sermon on the Mountain, where he said about plucking your eye and cutting off your arm. It was literal. It was not literal, but it was literal, because what it meant was take your hands off those things that would lead you astray. Get your eyes off those things as if you were blind. Those things that would keep you from looking at the things of Christ. I'd rather have 50-50 vision in heaven than 20-20 vision in hell. So he's going on and he continues, you know, that that whole piece is so vitally important in every aspect of our lives. We have to remember that when he calls upon us, he's talking about so many things in our lives. Remember when he told Abraham, he told him to get out of that country he was in and go to a far country. He told Lot to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah before the destruction came. Over and over again, he would tell people to leave and go and remove themselves from the pending doom that was awaiting them. And so it is. We must leave those things that will cause us destruction, those things that Satan can use to pull us from the grace of God and from his presence, that will take us from unholiness, from holiness rather, to unholiness, from righteousness to unrighteousness. I remember when I was a pastor there in Delaware, and a young girl, she wasn't a member of the church, but she was very faithful to coming to Bible study every Wednesday night, more faithful than many of my members. And one night, she didn't come, and I asked her the next week, I said, what happened to you, Iris? And she said, well, Pastor, my boyfriend, he was on the truck, and he asked me to come and go on the truck with him. And I told him that if he would come to church, I would go on the truck with him. And he promised to come to church. Of course, the night that she said that, he didn't come to church, though she had previously gone with him on the truck. And so what happened was, she came that week, and then the next week she did bring him. But then the next 4 weeks, a month worth of Wednesdays, she didn't come. And so finally she did come back. I'd been trying to call. I couldn't get her. And she came back the next Wednesday, would be the fifth Wednesday, and asked her what happened. She said, well, because he came to the church the one time, he expected me to go on a journey with him that was going to take 4 weeks. I said, I'm going to tell you something, Iris. The thing that you offered him was going to change his life for the better. It was going to lead him from hell to heaven. But what he's done for you is to pull you away from what God would have you to do. Because, you know, she was on the road with him for 4 weeks. You know, they were staying in a hotel together. They were doing other things that I know were unrighteous things, things that were against the will of God. And I said, you know, any time a person tells you to come with him to the world, when you tell him to come with you to Christ, That's never an even trade. You're always going to be the loser in that compromise. You're going to always be a loser in that agreement. So when people say, I'll go to church if you do, no, it's not if you do. It's just not. It's not an equal equation. Going before God will change your life for the better. Moving away from God will bring your life to a destructive, tragic, and even to death many times, an end. So I like what you say. It's so very true. The church has to return back. It's not about numbers. It's not about mega and large churches and numbers in a pew. It's not about that. Christ said, I'd rather leave the 99 and go after the one lost sheep. He's after your heart, not after this body. He's after your heart, not just a seat to be filled. So I like what you're saying. It's so very true. I think it's so timely. You know, we brought the world in because we think we can attract people in the world by bringing the world into the church. But all that does is this is what I say, only thing it does is bring the world into the church. It doesn't change anyone in the truest sense of the word. That's why people want to be pacified and stroked, and they want to be soothed, and they want to be coddled, and they want to hear about things that will bring me prosperity and will bring me a brighter day and make my coffers rich and all of that. If you talked about the first century church as recorded in the book of Acts, they weren't concerned about that. The problem with the first century church was, well, the problem with the 21st century church is that we want to please ourselves instead of pleasing God. The first century church only wanted to please God above everything else. We want God to please us. That's really the basic difference. They didn't ask for all these things, and yet God provided for each and every one of them. When they needed funds, he provided funds for them. When they needed food, they provided food for them. All throughout the Bible, you know the Hebrews there in the wilderness, how they complained about they wanted to go back to Egypt because they were going to starve out here, they were going to die of thirst out here, and God provided from heaven. He didn't take a chicken and give it to them. He gave them manna from heaven. He gave them heavenly food. Better than a steak, better than chicken or pork chops or whatever else you may like in this world. Better than all that, he gave you heavenly food. And they still were not satisfied, even with the gifts that God showered them with from heaven. They still were complaining and murmuring. That's why a 17-day journey took 40 years. We wonder why the church, you know, well, I've been here 15 years and we still got the same amount of people in the church. Well, then take an inventory. Every church is not meant to be mega church. I understand that. But if you feel a dissatisfaction, if you feel as though your church should be growing more than what it is, if that's troubling your spirit, you need to ask your spirit, what am I doing wrong? Everybody's not going to get 35,000 people. It's because, but I'm going to tell you something. When I pastored, I never pastored a mega church by no stretch of the imagination. But many of the churches that were small, I was satisfied in. I was satisfied in. And so, yeah, we increased, but we didn't increase greatly, but God didn't give me a troubling spirit. But if you look at your congregation, pastor, minister, evangelist, missionary, whatever the case may be, deacon or trustee, and something is troubling your spirit about that, listen to that. That's the Holy Spirit saying you should be doing more. Not so much increasing the numbers in the church, but doing more for the increasing the numbers in the kingdom. So there's a difference between, well, it's sometimes there's a difference between increasing the numbers in the church and increasing the numbers in the kingdom. I can have 45 billion people in the church and have 3 that go to the kingdom. So what glory will I get from that? I have my reward. So, yeah, when my testimonial comes on earth, I have 35,000 people. I'm going to have a good little testimonial. They all gave $1, I have $35,000. But what is my reward in heaven? All I can muster out of 35 people is 3? All of them were my members. I was pastor to all of them. I was the shepherd to all of them. I was to lead all of them, if they're my flock, to the kingdom. Oh, yes, they're going to be remnants. They're going to be wheat and tares. But that's a sad number if I got 35,000 and three go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sad number. And that's the count God's looking at. God's seeing your efforts, your commitment, your devotion to service. When James and John's mother came to Jesus on the eve of his being crucified, and before he left, she wanted to know something. Lord, I'm your aunt, and I want to ask you something. You know you got two first cousins here, James and John. I want to know, when you leave, Lord, you know how this thing is with family. If you got family in the midst of this, would it be the ones who succeed you? So which one is it going to be, Lord? Which one is going to sit on your right hand? Who's going to sit on the right and the left? Which one is going to be in charge of this little band of believers when you leave, Lord? I'm your mama's sister. I want you to tell me. And the Lord stood before his heart and said this. It's the one that serves, not the one that sits. It's the one that goes out, not the one that's on the throne in the pulpit chair, lording over everybody.
Mm.
Not the one that lords over folk, it's the one that serves folk. And then he began to kneel down and start washing the feet of the disciples, showing through example. Dying on the cross was servitude. King of kings dying as a thief? You're talking about humility. The one that could have called 10,000, he could have called more than 10,000 angels. He could have called all the angels to come and help him. He had that kind of power. But he chose. So sometimes it's a choice to take low. Sometimes it's a choice not to speak when you know you're right. Sometimes it's a choice to stand for the Lord when everybody else is falling for the okey-doke. Sometimes it's a choice not to retaliate, to believe that when God said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay," to believe that and just leave it alone. Sometimes it's a choice. These are the things that we compromise with too. These are the things that are worldly. How do we respond to things and people when they act ungodly, when we're dealing with ungodly folk? You see what I'm saying? We expect the man who we know don't even believe in God hardly, if at all, certainly lives a reprobate life, and then they act like they're reprobate, like their master, like their God is Satan, and we're surprised, and then we act like their God. Instead of we pulling them into our God, we retaliate in like manner. But what do you expect from a man of the world? What do we expect from a woman of the world? They're going to say, let us pray and let's turn to Jesus? No, they're going to get in your face and try to instigate. Try to pull you away and be led by their father who wants to get hold of you. He already got them. He don't want them. He wants you. So when we talk about worldly things, that's worldly. When we talk about conforming to the world, that's conforming to the world. Well, I meant tit for tat. So that eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, Christ made it very clear. He said, oh, yeah, it's Old Testament, but I'm telling you a new law. I'm giving you a new commandment. Somebody hit you on the left cheek, turn the right cheek also. Somebody asked for a coat, give them a cloak too. Somebody tell you to go 1 mile, go two.
Bishop?
Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate everything you're saying. We do have a caller on the line, and I don't know how long they're going to be here, so let's see.
That's fine. You know, I'll be here for as long as you are here.
Good evening, area code 513. Welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministry.
Hello, this is Evangelist Michelle Bless. How are you?
Hello, God bless you. How are you?
I'm fine. I was just listening to that man of God. I was back here just jumping for joy. He was showing up with preaching.
The devil is a liar.
He is busy. He is at work. And you know what I learned in this process of serving him is that people from all walks are going to come at you, especially the ones that are blind, they got scales, and they don't know. That's why you gotta pray for people like that, because they don't know no better. See, misery loves company. Misery loves company. People love to debate. I don't debate. When you have an intimate and personal relationship with him and you know who he is by knowing his word, that's all that matters.
Right.
It doesn't matter what a person say. Because, you know, I don't get into that. I don't get into that. That's chaos to me. It's like I don't get into religion. I don't get into that. It's about saving a person's soul. That's what it's supposed to be about. We're supposed to be talking about how we can help somebody.
That's right.
Not about how you walk, because I'm not going to come at you and check on how you walk, sister. If anything, I'm going to pray for you like you pray for me. That's what a
that's
true
right.
servant of
that's
God
what
does.
We should do. That we,
just,
that's what
I mean,
we
that's,
should
that's,
do.
That's what the, I mean, come on. Come on now. So
yeah.
We're going to nip all that in the bud.
Well, I nipped that in the bud.
I saw what you said.
Yes, I missed that in the bud.
That's why I jumped right in on the phone, because the devil's a liar.
Yep, and my husband,
the devil's a liar.
He's not seeing the chat room, so he didn't know what went on in there. But it's distraction because the enemy doesn't want people to come out. The enemy doesn't want people to come out, and that's what the teaching is about tonight, coming out from amongst them and be separate. And the Lord Jesus said, the word of God says, and I will receive you. I will receive you. Come out from among them, and I will receive you. So that's
you know
what
I love about you know what I love about Joyce Myers. Yeah, I'm gonna mention her. That's a powerful woman of God.
Yes.
And her and see and people come after her all the time. But the ones who come after her is the ones that is confused and don't have a relationship with God. Because if you read her book and even listen to her, all she talks about is Jesus. And give her testimony of where he brought her from and what he taught her. How throughout the years, she even talked about how throughout the years she had wasted time because she was so hard-headed and she didn't want to listen that she learned the hard way. So what she do, and I love her, is that now she writes this book and so she talks about what the Holy Spirit talks about, what we need to do, what is right. So we ain't got to go around that mountain like she did. For a long period of time, it's like what I endure. I'm so bold when I go out and tell my testimony and talk about it in graphic or whatever, because I don't want nobody to have to hold on to secrets any much longer, because the devil got them bound. I don't want anybody to feel like they got to stay ashamed or they got to live the life they live. Because all you got to do is give an opportunity to Jesus, give an opportunity to him, and so you know. So I come from among them. When you said come, I love when your husband said come from among them. I love that. Come from among that. Come from among that. Because that ain't nothing but mess, chaos, and confusion. Ain't no Jesus in that. And I love that the Lord gave me the spirit of the sermon because you can recognize it. See, spirit recognize spirit. Just like I recognize the Jesus in you, I can recognize the devil in somebody else. And you squash it like a bug.
And that's what we all should be able to recognize that. But if we're still acting like the devil and living like the devil, talking like the devil and on his territory, and you're trying to cast the devil out, he ain't going nowhere because
he
knows you're playing games. Where he going? Where he going? He's going to be like, psych. Where he going to go? How you going to cast out the devil and he live at your address? He live at your house.
Ma'am. Come on now. That reminds me of that dude in the book of Acts. I can't remember the whole scripture, but I'm sure your husband know it. You know where the one he was looking at. He was watching. I'm not sure if it was Peter and Paul or John, I don't know who it was. I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe some people in the chat room would know, or your husband. This is what I'm saying. Anyway, this man, I guess he was into sorcery and stuff, I'm not really sure, but he was watching them delivering and healing people, and he was like, well, I want some of that. Can I buy that? And they said, well, this is not for sale. The Holy Spirit is not for sale. But what he decided to do, he was walking down the road or whatever, and he seen this man apparently they had demons in him. And he's going to call himself, going to cast them out. That devil said, I know you. I know John. I think he said he knew Paul. He knew Peter. He said, and I know Jesus. Who are you?
Who are you?
And chuck on the man. Beat him, the demon beat him so bad, beat him out his clothes.
Diamond,
what's the point of me bringing up that story? The point is, them ones that talk that smack, they don't even know the devil's in them. And they got no power. They got
know.
No power. None. So I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the spirit of discernment. Because, see, people like that, I pray for them. It's kind of interesting. I was invited on another show before I went into Facebook. I just happened to, check some emails, and I was somewhere else ministering. And this person, I said, I'm going to pray for you. He said, I don't want you to pray for me. I don't need for you to pray for me. Straight devil. But I didn't say to that person, the devil. I just said, I love you. I'm going to pray for you anyway. And I kept saying, I love you. I'm going to pray for you. I love you. I'm going to pray for you. That person shut up and left the site. They couldn't take it. See, you can kill. You know how you kill that? With kindness. Speaking the word of God. Speaking the word of God. Because it's so many people that are. They don't even realize that. Again, it's got to be about souls.
Can I read that scripture that you were just talking about? I'm going to read that scripture that you were just talking about, and it's in Acts chapter 19. And it says, let me see if I can change versions. I'm trying to see if I can find the New King James Version, but I'm going to read it from the King James Version then. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened, and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped, on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Naked and wounded. Naked and wounded.
Come on now.
Okay.
See,
this was the 7 sons of Sceva, and they playing around with the name of Jesus and got beat up.
I'm going to end that with you. That's enough said right there. Amen.
That's enough said right there. But let me tell you something. This call that God is calling to the body of Christ to come out from among them in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says in verse 17, saith the Lord, and verse 18, saith the Lord God Almighty. This is something that God is commanding us to do, to come out from among us. what concord have Christ with Belial? What part has he that believeth with an infidel? And we read the definition of infidel. An infidel is one who has no religious beliefs or who doubts and rejects the central tenets of the particular religion. One who rejects the word of God. Basically, if you is the central tenet of our religion, of what we believe, the word of God, the one who rejects that is termed an infidel. Okay? The term infidel was used by Christians to describe those perceived as the enemies of Christianity. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The enemies of
mm-hmm.
Christianity. We have enemies of Christianity, of Christianity within the body of Christ. Can I say that?
Oh, my God.
We
yes,
have enemies
we
against Christianity within the body of Christ. Sitting in church
mm-hmm.
every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Friday, an enemy of the cross, because when you're trying to live holy, they're telling you, well, don't take all of that. When you're trying to live
wow.
righteously before God, they're telling you that it doesn't take all of that. You cannot tell me that that's not an enemy. You can't tell me that that's not an enemy to God. If
wow.
somebody's telling you, don't believe that, it doesn't take all of that. You can still fornicate and you can still commit adultery. You can still, you know, drink here, a little bit of this and do a little bit of weed because weed comes from the ground. And you can still do this and you can still do that.
What?
That's an enemy.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Oh, my goodness. Jesus.
It has to be an enemy if it's against what God says.
Now, you preaching now, that's right. That's right. That's in the Word. That's in the Word. We got to stop. You can't be riding the fence.
It ain't no fence,
minded.
And that's what the Holy Ghost told me. It ain't no fence. That's something imaginary. It ain't no, you ain't straddling no fence because it is no fence. You either hot or you cold.
Or you cold. Lukewarm. Now, that's in the Bible. Come on.
You either hot or you cold. Get off
Come
of that
on.
Imaginary fence because there is none. You either are or you're not. You either
That's
pregnant
right.
or you're not. You either
Come
serving the
now.
Devil or you're not.
Come on now. Amen.
I'm telling you, we're about to have a revival and all this other foolishness. I'm telling you, Evangelist Mack is supposed to be coming up here for doing this revival. But I'm telling you, the word of God is going to go forth. And this imaginary line of straddling the fence, that line is getting ready to be torn down. That fence is getting ready to be torn down because it ain't no fence for real, for real.
Uh-huh.
You either are
yes,
or you're not.
Yes, yes.
We got to make up our minds. Either we are or we're not. We're either against God or we're for God. And if we're not for
That's
God,
right.
we're against God.
We're
Jesus
against
said,
God.
Whoever is not for me is against me.
And let
Whoever's
me
not for me is against me. That is the word of God.
Yeah,
I didn't make it up.
That's right. That's in the word.
And I'm getting ready to find it right now. Whoever is not for me is against me.
And while you're looking for that, I want to add something to that, my sister. And the word out, he said, touch not my anointing or do my prophets no harm. It's like, I know you are servant of God, Evangelist Scott. So if I put my mouth on you, I'm putting my mouth on God.
Same thing.
Come on
now.
Well,
let me add something to that, Evangelist. The people of God that call themselves anointed better watch how they're putting their mouths on people, other people too.
That's true.
Because just because you got a title don't mean that you're the only anointed person.
Don't mean nothing.
Just because you got a title, you know what? The person that's sitting there without a title is anointed too.
That's
so how
right.
about everybody
oh,
just
right
shut
about
up?
That.
How about everybody
I
just
agree.
Shut up? Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody
mm-hmm.
just stop the talking because guess what? Just because you got a title don't make you anointed. Just
Ooh.
Because you got a title don't mean that you was appointed by God. Some people appointed themselves.
Appointed themselves.
And anointed themselves
now.
With devilment. Some people is anointed with the devilment.
Mm-hmm.
Just, come on now. I get sick
oh
of hearing
God.
All of this stuff. Touch not my anointing, do my prophets no harm. And while the anointed is talking about touch me not, they out there touching other people, talking about other people, destroying other people's lives.
That's right. That's
Saul
right.
Saul was anointed, but Saul was allowing the devil to use him. But David had enough sense to say, touch not my anointing and do my prophets no harm. So he didn't do anything to Saul. God took care of Saul. But he was anointed, but he was crazy as a bed bug. And they had to take the music
that
and play the harp.
That is a perfect example you just picked. That was a good scripture, sister.
They had to use the harp to calm the devil down in Saul. They had to play the harp so them demons could calm down in him.
My God, that's good,
Crazy anointed people walking around. Anointed and crazy as I don't know what. Come on now.
God. Yes, ma'am, come on.
Folks talk about touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And the anointed ones are going around causing hell, going around causing wreaking havoc, going around causing division and strife and lying on God. Oh, yeah,
my
you can have
God,
the anointing upon your life, but at the end, God's going to take care of you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So I'm not impressed about people saying that they anointed and they got this position and that position, because many people calling themselves to these positions ain't been appointed by God, not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but by the God of this world. That's why it's time to take a step back and look at the man in the mirror and ask him to change his ways and ask her to change her ways. If you want to make the body of Christ a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. What? Yes, I said that.
That's right now. Because it ain't about no titles. It ain't about no titles. And you're right. Half the ones that claim these titles is a title they put on themselves.
And even for the ones who have been called and anointed and appointed by God. Come on now, we got to check ourselves. We got to check ourselves on a daily basis. We got to make sure that our heart is right. We got to make sure, because the heart is sick and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God looks at the heart. He don't look at about all this other fluff stuff. He don't care about the rah-rah. He looking at the heart. You can say what you want to say, but what you living. What you living.
Yeah. And that's why it is so important to go into your word daily and commune with the Lord daily, because you got to kill the flesh daily.
I'm so sick of people in these titles.
Come on now.
Sick of it. I wish to God people would just strip this title stuff and people just begin to live like a servant of God. You know, the Bible says your gifts will make room for you. The Bible says a tree is known by its fruit. You ain't got to walk around going around telling people that you a prophet, that you were this and you were that. How come your fruit not showing who you are, but your fruit really is showing who you are? Because you're doing the things that if you of God, then that's going to be godly fruit. If you of the devil, it's going to be devilish fruit.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen. That's right. My God.
One thing about God is you can't fool him on no day of the week. We can walk around and fool each other and deceive each other and be pompous and be proud and act like we know it all and act like we so righteous and holy like the scribes and the Pharisees in the New Testament. But check it out. God says the outside of the sepulchre is whited. It's whited on the outside, but on the inside it's nasty.
Ooh, Jesus. Yes.
God don't care about our titles. He said, come out from among them. Everybody looking for prestige, looking for, I want to be the next big one. I want to be the next Joyce Meyer. I want to be the next whatever the man named, T.D. Jakes. I want to be the next this. How about be what God called you to be? And that's holy, and that's righteous, and that's a peculiar person. Peculiar.
Yeah.
A royal priesthood.
Yes,
a peculiar nation. That's what he called us.
Yes.
How about being called the son of God or a child of God? How about that?
Yes, yes, amen, amen. That's right.
You ain't never got to call me Evangelist Teresa Scott. You ain't never got to call me Prophetess Teresa. You don't never got to call me Elder Scott. You don't never got to call me Mrs. Scott. Call me Teresa and let the words I do speak for me.
Fine with me.
Come on, people. Get it untwisted. It's twisted. Get it untwisted.
Come on now, girl. You preaching now.
I ain't mad. My name is Teresa. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to get offended if you call me Teresa. That's my name.
That's right.
But I want
Amen.
God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you want to call me
yes.
something? Call me good and faithful servant, glory to God. That's what you want to call me,
yes.
good and faithful servant, hallelujah.
My God, yes.
All this other stuff, uh-uh. He's saying come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. Lying, slandering, backbiting, all that stuff is unclean.
Yes, it is.
That thing
yes,
that I put
is.
On Facebook and that one that you like with them snakes whispering in that person's ear,
girl,
that's unclean.
Girl, I saw that. I mean,
come
I'm
on now.
Come on now. I had to repost that for you. Oh, my God. I mean, that was the best thing I've seen today.
Just
oh,
crazy.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I don't know who this guest is that's listening, but they've been on here for a while. Guest 1586. No, 5586. I thank you for listening in. Glory to God. But I'm trying to tell you, listen, come out from among them, saith the Lord, and touch not
yes.
the unclean thing. And the Lord showed me tonight when we were talking, and honey, I want you to finish this. When I was talking, he was talking about being yoked. When he's talking about being unequally yoked, who are we yoked to for real, for real? Because when an animal is yoked to that farmer, to that person that's plowing that land, that animal
yeah.
is going wherever he pulls that yoke to. Whichever direction he steers that yoke in, that's the direction that animal is going in. It can't go no other way but whatever way that farmer is steering him.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're yoked to God, we're not going no other way but the way the Holy Spirit leads us.
Amen.
We can't say we're
right.
yoked to God if we live it like the devil. How can we be yoked to God if we live it like the devil? That's like an ox and a mule being yoked together trying to plow, and an ox trying to go one way and a mule trying to go the other way. And then you got okay, well, the man's with the plow. He's trying to, the ox is going this way. Oh, no, the mule's going that way. It ain't like that. God didn't want no two different animals yoked together. And today he don't want us yoked together with Satan. How can we be yoked together with both of them anyway?
That you can, come on.
It's only one leader. Whoever you following is your leader. Come out from among them. If you're following Satan, let me tell you something. A tree is known by their fruit. If you acting like the devil, you being led by him. You don't tell me that you're not.
You are so right. You are so right.
That includes me. That includes everybody that call themselves a Christian, a follower of Christ Jesus. If we live like the devil, we better check who our master is, because some of us done fooled ourselves so much that we think that we living for God when we not. We being pulled by the devil. We being led by the devil. We done yoked up with the devil. How you in a club dropping it like it's hot, and then on Sunday you on the praise team? Come on. Sit down somewhere.
No. Like he said, choose this day who you going to serve.
Let me tell you something. I'm done with it. Honey, what else you got to say?
I say amen and okay.
You funny.
Woo, sister, girl. You that was good. I'm up there running around in my house. I'm telling you. That was good. That
come
was
on,
good,
right on.
Sister. Yes, sir. She's speaking now. She's telling the truth. That's
yes,
why
she
it's
is.
A hush. That's why it's a hush all up in the chat room. Come on now. Come on now. Come on.
I'm telling you, we better act like we know. I just see this vision. I wish I could draw what I see. I see an
yeah.
actual yoke. I see the person standing behind the oxen with the yoke on the oxen, and I see this person steering these animals to plow the field. I see them steering them to plow the field.
Wow.
And you, whoever you're yoked to is whoever you're going to follow. That's whoever you're, who your instructor is, who your leader is. Whoever you're yoked to, that's who you're going to obey. Those oxen that's on that yoke, they have to obey the person that's leading, that's steering that yoke. They have to obey
absolutely.
That person that's steering the yoke. So if you're yoked to the devil, you got to obey him. He is your master. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care how many times, if you went down in Jesus' name, if you went down in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, if you speak in somebody's tongue, you know, Hiccup Messiah, help me tie my bow tie. Yesterday I got a Hyundai. I don't care what you're saying out your mouth. If you living like you, the devil is steering you, then the devil is your master.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
But on the other
Amen.
Hand, if you living holy and righteous, if you crucifying and mortifying that flesh by the Holy Ghost, if you shutting up that mouth, if you closing them legs and keeping your zipper zipped, men, women, you closing your legs and stop letting any and anything up in there.
Intertwining with them spirits. Come on
if you,
now.
If you, all them things that the Lord hates, six things the Lord hates, yea, seven is an abomination unto him.
That's good, Teresa.
Come
That's
on,
good.
Now.
Come on.
We coming
Come
up
on
with
now.
This dumb okey-doke stuff and just doing anything we want to do and then saying it's okay. God is okay. Oh, sister, God is well pleased with you. And you just got out of the bed of fornication, and somebody coming to you, a lying prophet, talking about God is well pleased with you. Stand somewhere and shut up.
Ooh, Jesus.
Brother, God sees
Ooh,
your heart.
God,
he knows that
God.
Your heart is towards him, brother. He knows that you're living for him, brother. And you just got out of the bed of adultery. You just got
right.
finished murdering your brother and your sister, and you do it every single day.
See.
Oh, but God is well pleased with you, brother. Sit down and shut up, you lying prophet.
Lying. Not the God we serve pleased with you, but the devil pleased with you.
Talking
oh, yeah.
about
the
God
devil
is pleased
with you when you're acting like that, because that ain't God.
God is
God
pleased.
Is not pleased with mess, because God is not a... an author of chaos and confusion, and he don't operate out of mess.
That's why when the world, and my husband peeped me to this, God is not the author of confusion. He's not all in that chaos and all the other stuff. That's why when it says in the beginning, read the book of Genesis, the world was without form and void. It was chaos.
Say,
and then God spoke.
Say that again. Say that again.
The world
again.
Was without form and void. It was chaos. And God spoke and said, let there be light. My husband peeped me to that a while ago.
Ooh, powerful. That's powerful.
You
want to
talk
right
about
there.
That, Bishop?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I listen. I am a student. I am teachable because I do listen. I might not say something all the time, but I listen. And he taught that thing
right.
about the world was without form and it was void and it was dark. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. It was nothing but chaos. And God spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light.
The only
the
one that
order.
Can bring order to chaos is God.
The only
Come one.
One
that can bring order to chaos is God. And let me say this, that the world, your life, the world, society, mankind, humanity itself, is in chaos because it's not allowing God to bring order to the situation.
Hallelujah!
Once we allow God to bring order to the chaos, chaos ceases to exist.
Ceases to exist. Just like the stuff that is going on in the world. Everybody's
okay.
afraid. Well, it, you know, you've been taking God out of everything. They want to take God out of money. When they took God out of school, they took, I mean, come on now. God ain't going to fight you. He's going to step out the way and let you do what you do.
Leave it to your reprobate mind. Leave it to your reprobate mind. That's what he does.
There go to chaos. You
know, come on now.
Go to chaos. There go to chaos. Why is it chaos? Go ahead with that thing, Bishop. Go ahead with that thing.
So true.
You got me ready to shout.
You know, I mean, we have to get this thing together. We're always trying to reason and trying to use logic and trying to use this in our own wills and our own way to try to find answers to our chaos. Everything was all right and until the Babylon, the Tower of Babel, Nimrod wanted to raise that Tower of Babel, didn't he? to try to reach God for the wrong reasons, not for the right ones, because you don't need to build a tower to find God. You don't need to build a tower to reach God in heaven. He'll come where you are. But they wanted to go where God was so they could see what God's all about and be who God is. And so they built that tower. And then God destroyed the tower in chaos.
Chaos.
Come on, I love it.
Man now spoke different languages. Chaos took place.
Chaos.
Before that, everybody understood each other. Then chaos took place.
I like that.
Now it was French and Spanish and Italian and English and Babylonian and Portuguese and German. Now everybody spoke different languages. Because God said, when you're against me, the chaos is going to come in as my stead.
Jesus.
I'm going to bring chaos to the world because the world has brought chaos to itself.
And guess what, Bishop?
What's that?
Guess what just dropped in my spirit?
What happened?
God wanted to be the God of the Israelites, right?
That's what he did.
They wanted a king. And when they got a king, what happened?
Chaos.
Oh, yeah, because the Lord said, y'all want a king?
Come on, what happened? Say it again, what happened? Chaos. Come on now. All became insane, became crazy, started looking for witches to give them answers and to rule the kingdom. So instead of God ruling it, witches began ruling it. Because that's who he sought for counsel, witches and warlocks and all that type of thing.
Oh my God.
Without God, there's always turmoil. Without God, there's absence of peace. Christ is the Prince of Peace. Without him,
chaos.
That's right. You can't be sometimes. People say to me, brother, well, Michelle, you always... You look so happy and it's just a calmness about you. I said, because I don't let things bother me. I don't have negative in my being. I don't have it around me. I just don't. When I go minister, it's a different story, because when I go minister, I'm ministering into the world, and I know what's in the world, but I be ready and prepared and equipped before I go out the door, because I'm going to do my Father's business, not my jail business. Because when I do my God's business, I'm protected. You know what I'm saying? And I'm equipped to deal with those with that. But outside of that, God gave me peace, and I'm going to hold on to my peace. It ain't no struggle. I just don't deal with negative.
Jesus! Yeah, that's rude. I'm like that myself.
Stop it.
That's the truth.
I want peace that passes all understanding.
Jesus,
you can have peace amidst the chaos if you have Jesus.
Brother Mac, I ain't trying. I'm trying to bring it up, but that took me back. I remember when I didn't know Jesus. When I didn't know him, and I used to have to sleep with one eye open.
I used to have to sleep with one eye open.
What I bandit. What I Susie.
My Lord.
And the day, honey, I got so much peace, unspeakable joy. God said, my father and our father, God said he's a jealous guy. He said, put no man, no woman, no child, no image, no nothing before him.
That's right.
And when you don't put nothing before him, I devoured his word.
Can I stop? Let me stop you right there, Michelle. Michelle, this is what I need for you and Bishop Gerald Scott to do on Friday. Okay?
Okay.
Y'all need to do this broadcast on Friday because we're going to talk about peace versus chaos. That's going to be the topic on Friday.
Oh, is that a topic on Friday?
Yep, come with your boxing gloves on.
I'm gonna make sure I tune in at 5. What time you throw at 5, right? I'll make sure I tune in.
5 at 5, Bishop Gerald Scott.
My Lord.
Michelle Bless and Teresa Scott will be on the air. And hallelujah, we better invite as many people as we can.
make a thing girl to repost that up, and we got to put that out there. Sure enough.
This
ain't no game.
This ain't
and
no
and
game.
And, I call who I call a thing, I'm talking about that snot-nosed, foul, spanking, snake of a grass demon and his imps.
Lord Jesus.
My Lord.
How they flitter. And they
Never.
Come on people. And they come on people that know, I mean, I know people that, I mean, they love, I mean, they talk about Jesus. I'm talking about some people now. And then when the Lord opened my eyes to the spirit realm, and I see a little demon sitting on their shoulder, whispering in their ear, or one standing behind them, urinating on their top of their head. And
oh,
then
wow.
I'm like, God, and the Holy Spirit said, keep looking. And the Holy Spirit tell me to keep listening. And then guess why I see that on some Christians? They don't understand. When you gossiping about somebody, that ain't God. You just open a door
God.
For a demon. You just open a door for a demon to come in.
Oh,
they don't realize some brothers, how they open doors. Come on now. I'm just telling you the truth.
Genesis 4.
You got to be mindful of what you say. They think they do things and it's harmless, but you don't realize what you think is not harmless. It's a doorway of demons to come through.
Right, it's a gate opening up that gate.
How do I look like sitting up here saying hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, falling out, snot-nosing on Sunday? But Monday I'm on the phone and do a three-way and got two or three other people on the phone. We talking about some couple of people in the church.
Monday?
See, I don't get those type of phone calls.
Monday?
I have to call Michelle.
You said Monday?
On Mondays. I'm talking about
How about
Sunday
after church?
Well, okay, that's even worse, girl. Sunday right after church. How about let's do one a little better? Come out to church in the parking lot talking.
How about let's do one a little bit better? You in a church cafe.
Y'all gotta
know
what we do, girl. And I'd be amazed. Walking through like, oh, my God, is this for real? Now, wait a minute.
Instead of singing, we lift
our
hands in the sanctuary.
Oh, my God.
We lift our tongues in the sanctuary. We use our tongues to murder our sisters. We use our tongues to murder our brothers. Come on now.
God.
And
oh
I will
God.
Kill you all the rest of my days. Yes, I will kill you all the rest of my days.
And I love
With
what
my
the Lord
mouth.
Said. You know, I love this part, this thing you got today, come from among them. We're supposed to be different than the world.
We don't want to be different.
But some of our sisters and brothers don't realize we make it difficult for some of the world people to come in.
Oh, yeah.
They see you no different than the people than they are.
Yes.
And if you call yourself a servant of God, I ain't got no business with nobody in the world. I ain't got no business looking at you and compare you, and you're just like the world. You ain't part of Jesus' kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Different.
Lord Jesus.
I can't even sit up here and say for real that all of us are, because that's a lie.
That's a lie.
I thank God, you know what pulled me close to him, because if I didn't have my own relationship with him, I would have stumbled a long time ago, at least 14 years ago when I first came into the flock.
Jesus.
But because I know him for himself, it taught me to pray for other people. That's how I get my blessing. So I always invite all the haters to keep hating.
Haters, you're my elevators.
I love it. Because the more you hate and the more you persecute me or some of the sisters and brothers in Christ, the more God's going to bless them.
Jesus,
and you know what?
Lord,
I'm going to tell you what the strongest thing, what's really pleasing the Lord is when you ask the Lord to bless the ones who persecute
enemies.
You. When you get to that point of doing that, watch what God do for you.
Oh, yeah. God going to do. He's going to say, now.
You become a triple threat then.
Now.
I mean, it's like the Red Sea part every time you walk into a room.
Now you are my servant. Because you
now.
Do what I say
you
do.
Now. He can use you now.
You now are my servant because you're doing what I told you to do. You're not an infidel anymore.
So let's stop, if everybody in the airway, let's stop being just seers and sayers and let's be doers.
Mm-hmm.
Of God's word. Come from among them. When you around some other sisters and brothers in Christ and you walk in and they talking about somebody, don't join in.
Let me tell you something.
Don't join into that mess.
I was telling somebody today, because I got a person that work at the same job that I work at.
Stand up for God. I'm talking about.
Huh?
Yeah. Go ahead.
The person at my job. Now, I just had this big meeting and all this stuff that was going on. The person at my job was supposed to be a Christian. She sits in the window and reads her Bible. She sends out text messages every day about Jesus, every single solitary day, Monday through Sunday. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, and then what she does?
Instead of her being a sister in Christ and standing with me, you're standing against me with my enemy, talking about me, lying on me, and all of this. But you sit and read your Bible every day. You send out text messages every day. But
okay,
yet
well,
you.
Let me say this.
Me.
Let me say this.
Let me say this.
I got to say this to you, my sister. That person, first of all, God's blessing you, and you're about to see a blessing that's so abundantly that when she witnesses it, she's going to eat them same words.
That's okay, because I'm about to leave the job. I'm about to leave that job.
Yeah. But she's going
to
reap what she saw because you can't be a servant. You can't claim to be a servant of the Lord and you joining in on persecution on another fellow servant. See, people, I walk in different places where, you know, where apparently there's a lot of people that needs help, you know, people that I go minister to, but I run into other people that are serving the Lord, you know, sisters and brothers. And when I see that and hear that, I immediately say, don't do that in front of me. And I'm going to keep you in prayer because you call yourself a servant of God and you sit up here talking about people. And that ain't in the word. You ain't representing God like that. I speak that immediately out of my mouth to them. So that's why I'm really hated in the community, you know. And normally when people see me, they don't talk anyway. And they're never going to call me and say what. Evangelist Michelle, did you hear? They ain't gonna do that. Cause see, I don't fake it. I'm not gonna sit up here, and you're not gonna one day see me. I'm gonna use Sunday worshiping God, praising His name, and then at the church see me a different way.
It's called strange fire, Michelle.
I'm sorry, what?
That's strange fire. People that do all
mean?
The other stuff that they do and then come to church and call themselves worshiping God, that's strange fire.
Oh, yes,
see,
it
God
is.
God is receiving that crap.
Real.
Don't you think God know the difference?
And wait a minute. And here's another thing. I told this one lady, her whole being changed because I told her, I said it to her one day. This one particular person I've been praying for because she took it. She got really kind of out of hand because I listened to her put down a person that was less fortunate, and she made this person feel so bad that she made her feel like she was beneath her. And this little girl, young lady, put her head down. I said, lift your head up. I said, don't put your head down. I said, she ain't no better than you. And so the sister said to me, you refer to me? I said, you right here, I ain't stuck. I said, you don't represent Jesus. God said, make none of his sheep stumble. This is a little sheep. It's a little lamb. She don't even know the word yet. You making her feel like she's beneath you. But no, it ain't that, no. If you think that the Lord is receiving your worship, you got another thing coming because he's watching what you do. See, God wants you to be serving him at all times when nobody is watching. But you got to remember God is always watching. And he sees what you do. That's why I told her. I said, you don't think he sees this, what you just did? So I'm praying for your soul right now, and you need to ask God for forgiveness. And I snatched that little girl and walked away with her so I can minister to her, so I can lift her back up, so I can give her encouragement so she wouldn't go and and stumble and not want to come back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're supposed to be mindful of what comes out of your mouth, but some of us don't. But I'm known I'm not in the cliques. I don't believe in that mess. I don't believe in titles. I just want to know what you're doing for the kingdom of God. You can speak all day long. It don't mean nothing to me because it don't mean nothing to God. God ain't looking for seers and sayers. He's looking for doers. And like you said earlier, sister, I want to hear those words that I've been a faithful servant. Well done, faithful servant. I want to hear my Jesus say that to me in heaven. When I go into the kingdom of heaven, I mean. When I go into that kingdom. We ain't got this much time here. That's why I don't be in chaos and confusion. And when I see it, hear it, or smell it, I sip it like wheat. You got to go. I ain't got time. It's about bringing people to the Lord so the Lord can set them free. It's about teaching the way you and your husband is teaching with this radio show. When y'all come in with different topics, I need for you to know, sometimes when I don't even come in, I see y'all topics, which I be talking about. But when I have to go minister, I have to go minister. But I'm glad that I was, because normally I don't even be available at this time. I just happen to go in and you text me to come on in. I'm glad that I did that. I'm looking forward to Friday. But this is a very, very important topic that you have today, come from among them. Because there are some people that are blind, don't even know that they called up. You know what I mean, Minister Mack?
Who, Minister Mack?
Hello?
Who's Minister Mack?
I'm sorry. Why did I say Minister Mack? She must be talking about me. I mean, Pastor Scott. I'll be talking to your husband. I'm sorry.
Girl.
She must be talking about me, Miss Mack. But I'll refer to your husband. Isn't that right, Brother Scott?
Yes, that's so true. So true, I tell you. I'm going to tell you the truth. We're living in the latter days, and we need to understand that. You know, I think that the body of Christ, it almost looks at this thing like the world does, like we got forever to get this thing right. We're closer now, like my wife said yesterday, we're closer now than we were yesterday, and we'll be closer still tomorrow than we are today. I'm not going to be a fortune teller and tell you the day and hour because Christ said no man knows that, and he didn't reveal it to
me. That's right.
But I can tell you this, it's sooner than later. It's sooner than later. And the body of Christ needs to step up to what it needs to be. It needs to be the example, not to be the follower, but the leader. In fact, Deuteronomy said we're supposed to be the head and not the tail. And yet we've become the tail so long, we forgot how to be the head. We're guided by the nose by the world. The world has us by the nose and telling us what to say, how to say it. Many of us are so trapped up in trying to get government money that we gotta compromise and water down our message because we want to get government funds to build another room in our church or to do something in our church. And so we got to keep our mouths shut about things we know are wrong so that we can be politically correct and get the support from the state and from the city and from the federal government. See, I'm going to tell you the truth. The church really shouldn't depend on the government. Because once you depend on the government, what did Christ say? You render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God.
That's good.
What we've done is we're rendering unto God the things that are Caesar's, and rendering unto Caesar the things that are God. We've got it all twisted. God said that. In fact, you talk about this nation didn't start the separation of church and state. God did. Christ
That's
did.
Right.
He said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. The things of the world, let the world run. The things that are God, let God run them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What we've done is we've incorporated, we want to be so much like the world that we're conforming to the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you, I'd rather be a church of 20 people And we're living right, we're doing right, we're helping in our community, we're loving folk, we're encouraging people, we're living the life that Christ will be pleased with, then to be a mega thing that's about nothing.
Oh, my God. I agree.
You can be mega and still not be not worth nothing. It's the work that you do that'll count.
That's right.
It's the things that you do for people that will live on beyond your life.
Well,
when we think about the great men and women of history, we think about Martin Luther King. We think about Harriet Tubman. Why do we think about Harriet Tubman? Because she led 300 slaves to freedom. She did something.
Oh,
Martin Luther King, the great work he did with the marches, with the sit-ins, with the legislation that he founded and established, Civil Rights Act of 64 and 65, the work that they did lived way after they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
He's been gone since 1968. Harriet Tubman been gone since 1882. Been gone.
My God.
But
my
we
God.
Still mention their names because they left something beyond just their talk. They left their life behind.
They sure did. They sure did. Amen.
Praise all the wonderful words he said, but it was him hanging on the cross that made the difference.
Hallelujah.
If he didn't hang on the cross, all those wonderful words that he spoke, I still would have gone to hell.
Oh, my God.
He had to do something.
Yes.
He had to do something. And we as a church have to begin to do something. The modern songs, the contemporary Christian songs, many of the words don't even include God. Don't even say the name of Christ.
Oh, my God.
Talk about everything. Talk about faith and talk about good feelings and talk about peace. But I talk about the Prince of Peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we wonder why no one's everybody dancing to the tune and jumping up and down with the tune. And you say, well, where's Christ in it all?
Mm.
The hymns we grew up with. Christ was all in the words. God was all in the words. And so we were directed to who this is. Not something within. The Holy Spirit.
Right.
Sweet, sweet Spirit. Ain't no something. He's the Holy Spirit.
God. Yes, he is.
He's the one that makes the difference. We don't always talk about the Holy Spirit anymore. We want to feel it, but we don't talk about him anymore.
Ooh, now you're preaching now. Come on now.
Oh, the Holy Spirit? Yet it was the Holy Spirit that changed that little cowardly man called Peter, who denied Christ three times and he didn't want to get in trouble, to being a bold soldier. When the Holy Spirit came on that day of Pentecost, it turned him around.
Yes, it did.
Changed who he was. And that mealy-mouthed, cussing, fussing, cowardly man called Peter finally became the rock that Christ many years before. We don't know what the Holy Spirit tells me. The Word tells me he's the one that helps us mortify the flesh. We can't mortify this thing. We can't the Spirit.
That's right.
The Word tells me that when I can't pray right, the Holy Spirit will moan and groan on our behalf.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
He intercedes for us in heaven. The Holy Spirit's the one that fills us with peace and comfort and joy, that unspeakable joy you were talking about. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. It's not the circumstances of our lives, because our lives still have problems in them. Situations still come our way. But that peace of that Holy Spirit can quiet the raging sea in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds.
Yes. Yes.
Every time we call upon him, he has the power. In fact, I tell you the truth, he is the presence of God in the world today. Lest anybody forget that. He's the presence of God in the world today. He is God in the world today.
Yeah.
That's why Christ said, I'll forgive you for blaspheming me. The Father will forgive you for blaspheming him. But you'll never be forgiven for blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
Come on now.
Because it's the presence of God in the world today.
Yes.
And it ain't just
yes,
a shout. It's not a shout. It's not a good feeling.
It is a shout.
You
come
know?
On now.
It's more than that. You know? He's with God every hour of the day. Let me see what the Holy Spirit has to say about that. Come, Holy Spirit, Heavenly Dove, with all your quickening power, come into my life.
Yes.
Make my life over again.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit, you're the one that holds the reins.
That's right.
You're the one that guides me through this turmoil called life. You bring joy when it should be filled with sadness.
Come on now.
And Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
That's what they got in that upper room there in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Came like a mighty rushing wind.
The upper room.
Yes, it did.
Turn
yes,
folk
did.
Around.
Turn them around.
Yes,
3,000 people were converted
come
that
on
day.
Now. Yes, sir.
We glad when one person joins the church.
Woo, Jesus.
We all happy. Hallelujah. Yeah, you get the Lord a grand. 3,000 came to Christ.
At one time. At one time.
And didn't even say they joined the church. They came to Christ. I don't know what church they joined, but they came to Christ. But the word didn't say they joined St. Matthew, Mount Pisgah, Bethel Baptist Church of the Holiness of the Pentecostal faith. It didn't say that. It said they came, the Holy Spirit move them to become believers in the Most High God through Christ Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes. My God.
He can move the dead if we let him. I always tell folk, don't get it twisted. The Holy Spirit ain't the Tonto to the Father as being the Lone Ranger.
Yes.
He ain't no sidekick. He's not Batman Robin.
Oh,
he's
no.
not no sidekick.
That's
the Holy Spirit is God.
Come on.
If the Father's God
come
and the Son is God, so is the Holy Spirit God. No less than the other two. All three in one. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All three in one. You can't deny any one of the three or else you deny God himself as a whole.
That's right.
You deny God as a whole. If you deny any one of the three, you deny God as a whole, my Jewish brother and my Islamic brother and my Islamic sister. If you deny any of the three, my Christian brothers and Christian sisters that emphasize the first two and ignore the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, if you deny any one of the three, you've denied God himself.
You have denied God himself. Why do you think it says that God will forgive all sins but one, and that is to disrespect, to defile the work, to the Holy Spirit. You can't come against the Holy Spirit. Because
no, that's
you come
right.
against God, for God is the Holy Spirit. Come on now. You got me stand up in my house. Come on
that's
now.
Right. Don't get it twisted. Oh, well, the Holy Spirit, yeah. If I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. Well, if you ain't got it, you ain't got God.
You ain't got God.
And I know it's poor English to say that, but that's the right truth of the matter. You ain't got God if you ain't got the Holy Spirit.
It's telling the truth. It's just like some of the people don't represent or don't believe, you know, in the Quran, or I'm throwing something out there a little bit, you know, or some of the, you know, or some of the Jehovah's Witnesses, I'm saying some of
right.
the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't celebrate some of the things of Jesus. But you can't, look, the Bible said don't take away or add to my word.
That's what he said.
Because you can't even talk to God without talking to Jesus.
But I had.
You got to come to the Son first.
Well, what did the Son say? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl, nothing.
And he also said, me and my Father are one.
Yes, sir. I mean, yes, ma'am. Come on now.
Let's get it right. Let's get our beliefs clear. Let's tell them like a T.I. is.
Jesus.
The truth of the matter.
I love it. My God.
Help me, God. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yes. Oh, You are on point today. Y'all are on point today.
I know I was pastoring, and when I had to do the benediction for commencement for the high school graduation, and the people would say, now don't say the name of Jesus. As you end your prayer, as you end your benediction, don't say Jesus in the name of Jesus. Just say God. I said, well, you must not want me then.
You must not
want me. Because I always say in the name of Christ, because I can't come before the Father except through Christ. And every time they'd ask me at the end of the thing, I would say, in the name of his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm not going to deny him. He said, you deny me before man, I'm going to deny you before my father. So I don't want to be denied before the father. I'm not going
to
deny the son.
I was getting ready to say, what did it say about that in the Bible? What did it say about
that?
Be an infidel.
I'm going to deny you.
Don't be an infidel.
Come on now.
So just take me off the program. That's what it requires. But I ain't going to deny Christ for you or nobody else.
Don't do it.
I would never deny Jesus.
You know.
And if you knew his name, I would never deny Jesus. I would never deny him. Because if you knew where I said, I would never deny him.
That's
I got an intimate personal relationship with him. I know him for myself. I know that he is real. And I know that I want to go to heaven. I'm going through Jesus Christ.
Oh, you're not getting there.
World.
You're not going to get there. If you don't go through him, you're not going to get there. Forget about heaven.
Yes.
Just get your ticket for hell. If you don't go through Christ, that's where you're going.
There's
no such thing as purgatory, folk. There ain't no middle place, folk. Either heaven or hell, there ain't no purgatory.
Ain't no in-between. Oh,
ain't
God.
No in-between.
Oh, God.
Ain't no. Oh, that's why we got to do a show about that. Ain't no in-between.
Ain't no in-between.
Ain't no in-between.
All or nothing at all.
Yes,
all or nothing
God.
At all. Period, blank.
Ain't no in between.
No in between.
Y'all want to do that? Y'all want to do that on Friday? Ain't no in between.
Ain't no in between.
Ain't no in between.
Y'all want to do that on Friday? Ain't no in between.
And that's a good one. But it ain't no in between.
All right, we're going to set y'all up for Friday. It's going to be called Ain't No In Between.
I don't wish hell on nobody. There is not a revolving door in hell. Once you know that, there is no coming back. There is no getting out.
Where's that rich man? That's the rich man of Lazarus. Remember? The rich man asked Abraham, tell my brothers not to come. He said, if they ain't listen to the prophets, they're not going to listen to me.
Right.
No, I'm not going back up there to tell them nothing. They got that book called the Bible. If they don't want to follow it, there's nothing I can say.
I love
that. If they don't want to listen to the word of God, there's nothing I can say.
I'm typing it up, y'all, now. Ain't no
in between.
Yeah.
He says, the double-minded man is confused. He's bewildered. He's beguiled. Ain't no in between.
I want to elaborate on something you just said,
okay.
Brother Scott. Talking about Lazarus, the one that was a poor man. He was a man of despair. He was a man of misery. He was
doing his life.
A man by a king's table where the king's table was feeding the
rich
dogs.
Man, that rich man.
And
everything.
Was standing there trying to catch the crumbs that he was throwing down to the dogs. This is a king that had everything, and he wouldn't even feed Lazarus. He treated Lazarus bad.
Like a dog.
Right before he died, Lazarus was so poor. Lazarus was so in misery that while he was eating the crumbs, that the dog was licking his sores on him. But when Lazarus died, he was in Abraham's bosom. And there was Hades on one side and
paradise, there
was paradise on the other. Come on now, let me shout. And Abraham was holding on to Lazarus, and Lazarus was in his white, and look at the king. The king was in Hades, burning.
Yes, he was.
Burning unspeakable pain, excruciation.
That's right. He could feel it.
Thirsty.
Everything. He could feel
thirsty.
It. Every pain, every agony.
Thirsty.
Feel it.
Yeah, but wait a minute. He was thirsty. He said, Abraham, let dip your finger. Come over here and just give me a drink.
The finger and then the pool
water.
Over there. Dip your finger over there. Just let me suck on your thumb just a little bit. Just to get just a little bit of the water. To ease my torture.
What did Abraham say? What did Abraham say to the king?
Ain't nothing I can do for you, my brother. What is it? What Abraham? Can you go to my brothers?
Come on that side. We can't cross to you, and you can't cross to us.
The Gulf.
And then he said, let me send that answer to go tell my family, to go tell my brothers.
That's
they
right.
They want to come to a place here.
If they didn't listen to the prophets, they ain't going to listen to me.
They ain't going to. Come on now.
They got the problem. They got the Bible. All they got to do is read the word and follow the word. That's all they got to do. If they don't want to listen to the word, follow the word.
When I read that story.
Going up there?
I said that was so profound when I read that scripture.
Yes.
That means the king had an opportunity to do right before he died. He had an opportunity to treat Lazarus right, but he didn't.
He
made
to
Lazarus like he was beneath. That's why
that's
what
right.
I learned from that is don't make people feel beneath you. You ones who God give food to and you can go in your kitchen and eat whatever you want. They can remember
you know
the
ones
who are out there in the street who ain't got no food to eat.
And you know what it tells me, too?
When was the last time you went out there and offered somebody something to eat?
There you go.
When did you drive near a restaurant somewhere near a park or a soup kitchen to see who you can minister to or clothe or give a
come on now.
Don't forget where you came from while you sitting in your fancy house and driving your fancy car and got all those fancy clothes and all them diamonds and a whole bunch of money in the bank. Don't forget who gave you all those things that you have.
That's why he said, don't desire to be rich.
You got to do more than just tithe, and I'm hoping you're tithing your money from the Lord because what you got is what God gave you. And this is the time for you to tithe. Give your 10% to the Lord and give more by offering. Offering is when you go out and do for other people. $2 or $3 might not be nothing to us, but it's a whole lot to a poor person who's hungry, who ain't got no clean clothes, who got to sleep on a park bench or go around restaurants to go into the garbage dumpsters to find them some food and knock off the ants and bugs and rats and worms off of it and maggots so they can eat it. I hope you listening to what I'm saying. I'm talking to the ones that are faithful servants. I'm talking to the ones that claim the name of Jesus. Wake up tomorrow. If you ain't working, go somewhere. Go drive to a park or to a restaurant like McDonald's or Wendy's or something. Go in the morning or in the afternoon. Homeless people are everywhere. And if you are working, stop on your way home. Just to say hi. That's a doer of God's word. Don't continue to sit in the church and continue every Sunday to get all that meat and all that bread and all that milk and you just filling and pumping your stomach and your soul and your spirit, but you ain't taking it outside those walls.
Spiritually obese.
Come on now.
Ain't doing you no good.
So you got to be a doer of God's word. Who have you said hello to? Who have you encouraged? Who have you fed? Did you say hello to somebody today? Did you say good morning, good afternoon, or good evening to somebody today? Did you offer a helping hand to someone? Did you just give someone some encouragement? Did you pray for someone today? Did you tell somebody today? Did you tell somebody about Jesus today?
Today.
Well, I'm not here to tear you down. If you ain't told nobody about Jesus today, make it your business to tell somebody about Jesus tomorrow.
If you wake up.
Make it your business. But before you go out the door and tell somebody about Jesus, make sure you say good morning to Jesus first in the morning.
Jesus.
Give him a song and read a scripture to him. Talk to him.
How you doing, Jesus?
The way me and sister And brother here, the way we're communicating, that's how I talk to my Jesus every morning. I brag on Jesus. I got to. Because he brought me from a place that no man or no woman or no child could ever brought me out of. I know he's real. I can't help but to go tell somebody about Jesus. I can't help but to go out to the streets and go to a restaurant or to a park and find me some bum or somebody homeless and offer them a meal and a cup of coffee, a cup of dollars. I can't help but that, because where I was out there like that, and God brought me from that, I don't have to live like that no more. So I got to go back and give back to the ones that are still out there, to the ones who are hurting, the ones that are not loved. Them is who God, those are God's people. They are future soldiers in God's army. They just don't know it yet. And we are here to help. You say you love God, then show God that you do. It's like he said to Peter three times, do you love me? What did God say? Feed my sheep.
Feed my
sheep. Do you love me? Come on now. He said it three times. Feed my sheep. What do you think that means in today's society? We're supposed to go out there and feed God's sheep. Who do you think the sheep are? It ain't the doctors and the nurses that are already here. It's the lost souls that are out there lost in the streets or on the mental wards. When was the last time you went into a hospital and visited someone sick? Somebody you don't know. It's good somebody you do know too. That's good. But do that sometimes. When was the last time you decided to park your car at a nursing home facility and go in and just tell the nurses, you know, you're one of God's servants, and you want to come and just speak to a couple of older people who don't have no family. They need somebody to talk to, too. They got family that just threw them in a nursing home and took all their home, money, and everything, just threw them in a nursing home. You'd be amazed of many old people that are sitting there looking out of a window with nobody to talk to. Come on now.
Yeah. We got 3 minutes left, y'all.
I'm just going to say this real quick. I enjoyed this, and I know I'm coming back tomorrow. That's all I got. That's all I got.
All right.
And wonderful, wonderful program tonight.
Amen. We just want to offer the prayer.
Give a prayer.
Salvation to those who may be listening, those in the archives. We just want to offer salvation. Glory to God. We want to offer salvation. And we want to pray for Patriot Greg and just ask God to open up his eyes and let him see the things that he is doing, and God will deliver him. So if you're listening to this broadcast tonight live or in the archives, we just want you to know that if you are not born again, Jesus came into this world to die for our sins. He took the penalty for our sins, and he wants you to have everlasting life with him. If you know that you are a sinner, that you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and that you cannot get to God except through Jesus Christ, I'd like to offer Jesus Christ to you tonight. I'd like for you to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you shall be saved. I want you to believe on the Jesus in John chapter 3. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we're talking about Jesus. In 1 John chapter 5, it says you cannot, there's no other way to God but through Jesus. There is no salvation except through Jesus, and Jesus is life. Without Jesus, there is no life, okay, because life is in the Son, and Jesus is the Son of God. If you believed anything that I just said, I welcome you into the kingdom of God. If you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I welcome you into the kingdom of God. If you have backslidden, if you have once known Jesus, but you've backslidden because the world has called you back, or problems have called, something has called you back, I just offer you to come back to Jesus. I offer you to come to him, because there is no life outside of him. Amen. If you don't choose Jesus, there's only one other choice. And that other choice, Satan, means you no good. I can tell you that without fear of contradiction. So we offer you Jesus tonight. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we just lift up Patriot Greg to you, Father.
We ask, oh God, that you will remove the blinders from his eyes. Will you cause him to see the division that he's causing, Lord, throughout, not just my broadcast, but through other broadcasts. Let him see, Lord God, that he's being used by Satan. But God, I ask you for a strong deliverance for him in the name of Jesus. We bind and rebuke division. We bind and rebuke strife in the name of Jesus. Father God, we bind and rebuke even jealousy, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And we ask you, oh God, that you would forgive Patriot Gray for his sin, oh God, that you would forgive us all for our sins, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you right now. I give you praise, I give you glory, and I give you honor for it being done. Thank you for my co-host on tonight, my husband, Bishop Scott, and Evangelist Michelle. Bless, Lord God, we thank you that someone will hear the word of God and be saved. Someone will hear the word of God and come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. Glory to God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. We look forward to speaking with you all on Friday, the 14th of September, 5 p.m., same bat time, same bat station. In Jesus' name, good night.
Night. Good night.